Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, today's word comes to us from Matthew. And in many Bibles, this section is called Jesus Begins His Ministry, or Jesus Calls His First Disciple. And I'd like to focus on just the first few verses of this morning, starting in 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. They were in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Now, this is an interesting passage, and it causes me to pause. Not because it's complex. On the surface, it's pretty straightforward. But what catches me is the ease at which those he calls obey. He simply says, "Follow me." And immediately, they drop what they're doing and they heed his call. Now, is this the picture of discipleship that he paints for us? Is this what it's supposed to look like? See, when Jesus commanded for us to make disciples of all nations, is this how he expected it to play out? If it is, then it's quite deflating, even demoralizing, and demotivating, because that's not my experience. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I found that making disciples is messy, and it's hard, and it's full of things like emotions, and pain, and stress. And it has never been immediate. I've never simply called out to someone, "Follow God," and have them immediately abandon their secular, their non-Christian beliefs and live for Christ. So, if discipleship is not easy, what's God teaching us about making disciples in today's passage? Well, first, we need to understand from him what a disciple is, so that we can understand how one is made. And if we can understand how one is made, then we can understand what we are called to do. And we can begin to understand what it should look like to make a disciple. Now, last week, we talked about how we must be a disciple before we can make a disciple. And we explored this personal formation through two different dimensions. The first was through Christ's relationship with his Father. And time again, we're told that Jesus prayed. And he was in constant communication with God. In fact, if you look back to the previous verses before the gospel reading, you'll see that immediately before Jesus begins his ministry, before he calls his first disciples, he spends 40 days in the wilderness praying. So, being disciples of Christ, we too are called to pray without ceasing. We're called to be in the Word, to read the Bible, and to study it in groups so that we imitate this model of personal discipleship that Christ provided for us. Now, the second dimension that we looked at last week concerned the fellowship of Christ with his disciples. And he lived with them day in and day out. And he worshiped with them, and he ate with them. He did everything with them. You see, they were a community of believers. They were a church with Christ as their center. And although they were one body, they were comprised of many individuals and many, many spiritual gifts. And they all worked together to be the light in the darkness for the world to see. And we are a body that was formed to not only be a light for others, but to be a light for each other, to strengthen and encourage each other, to celebrate with each other, to live in fellowship with each other. So being disciples of Christ also means being in active community with the church through worship and Bible study. Now, through God's powerful word, worked in us by the Holy Spirit, we become disciples of God. And this week we look at that third dimension, that of Jesus' relationship with those in the outside world. He was interested in the lives of those people that were around him. He cared deeply for them. You see, discipleship is understanding that Jesus is deeply interested in us. He sees our messy lives full of stress and pain and full of sin. And instead of turning away from us, he sends the Holy Spirit into us to do all the dirty work of cleaning, of sanctifying, and making us perfect in Christ. And he invites us, he invites himself into the deepest, dark corners of our lives. And instead of recoiling, he engages. Instead of damning, he restores. And this transformative work, it's available to everyone, without exception. Nobody will find his arms closed. You see, he calls us to be imitators of him, to open our arms and to build an intimate relationship with those that we come in contact with. He calls us to get our own hands dirty in the messy lives of those people that are around us, that we know and that we talk to every day. He calls us to care, to really care about the struggles and the pains and the successes of everyone. He calls us to make connections, to make these caring connections to the community around us, especially with those who don't yet know Jesus Christ. And this call of imitation, it manifests itself in many different ways, but it always starts the same. It starts by recognizing where Jesus is already working in the life of that other person, and then finding a way to join in. And you may find that Christ calls you to speak words of truth to the person, to help them understand where they have turned from God, and to help them turn back to him. Or you might find that you're the one to plant that gospel seed into the heart of someone where it can be nurtured and watered by someone else. You might find that you're simply to be a model of Christian living, a light in the darkness for someone, and that through that simple living out of your own discipleship, the beginnings of another are formed. And as a parent, this plays out in everyday life. See, there's a formation process in the context of family that you lead your children through. You model for them what it means to be a disciple, and you guide them in their own development. So when we talk about discipleship, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to require a degree or advanced knowledge. When we talk about discipleship, mostly, we're talking about relationships. We're talking about relationships with God, relationships with other Christians, and relationships with the outside world. And it's through these relationships that discipleship happens. It happens for ourselves, and it happens for those that we engage. In our personal time with God, He restores and He strengthens us through the power of His Word. And in our relationships with other Christians, through worship and Bible study, He does the same thing. And being filled with the Holy Spirit and being supported by the body of Christ, we minister to the world through the relationships that we forge with others. And we see every moment as a moment of ministry. Every moment as a moment of pointing others to Christ. And that's how God sees discipleship. How do you see discipleship? Let's pray. Here we are, Lord. Use us to reveal You to this world. Use us to be Your light in the world of darkness. Use us to touch lives with Your transformative love and power. Give us the courage to be Your hands and Your feet, to meet others where they are, where You already are, and to build a relationship that helps point them to You. In Your name we pray. Amen.